It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros.
Toughest son of a gun you ever met, man. That Texas gunslinger ain't gonna let nothing get in the way.
With interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It's hour number two of overtime, just in time for the high noon showdown. There are a lot of ways to begin your weekend. You can skirt out of work early. You could head to happy hour. You could take the day off on a Friday, or you could beat up your neighbor with the high noon showdown. That is by far and away the best way to start out the weekend. By the way, got some commentary over the break. I wanted to be fair and honest here, fair and balanced always on overtime. We talked about the best college football returning quarterbacks, Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenore Sellers, John Mateer, DJ Lagway. Those were FBS guys. So all of you Aiden Bowman stands out there, all of you Chase Mason lovers, it is not FCS quarterback, so don't yell at me about the FBS college football quarterback rankings list, courtesy of the New York Times. Let's dive right in, shall we? We got Matt. We got Dylan on the line. Matt has chosen list A to get us started here, and we're ready to rumble. Is someone going to get hooked up with a big prize pack heading into the weekend? Matt's up to bat first, and list A, it is time for today's High Noon Showdown.
Put 'em up. Put 'em up. Are you out of your mind? Because we could go to war. I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself.
Doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot. Although we'd love to see that, actually.
It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
The High Noon Showdown is always proudly and beautifully brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. You can elevate your grill game at Uncle Ed's on the east side of Sioux Falls. They got every option under the sun. They got sauces. They got dips. They got brats. They got dogs. They got steaks. They got chicken. And more than that, all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats out there on the east side of Sioux Falls. Matt and Dylan set to lock horns here right now on the show. Matt's up first. Matt, what jersey number does Cleveland Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett wear? What do you think? Ooh, the sigh is never a good sign.
No,
what do you got? What do you got for me? I need an answer. Myles Garrett. 2-1.
91.
Not correct. Matt, you go back on hold. Over to Dylan we go. First time caller on the program. Dylan, welcome in. He just got a bag of money. What jersey number does TJ Watt wear for the Steelers?
91.
Not correct. He wears number 90. Oh. Myles Garrett, number 95. Dylan, on to question number two. We just talked about this individual. What college does Cade Klubnik currently play for? Quarterback.
Clemson
is correct. Dylan, back on hold. You go over to Matt. Still very much up in the air as to who's going to win this one today. High Noon Showdown brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. Matt, the name to know is quarterback Lenoris Sellers. Where does he play his college football?
He is playing at South Carolina.
South Carolina. He's a Gamecock right now. Lenoris Sellers, correct. Matt, let's dive into this one. A mascot challenge, if you will. How about the mascot for Louisiana Monroe University? What do you think, Matt? Need an answer from you. ULM, what do you think?
Warhawks.
That is correct. Matt's still alive here. The Warhawks is right. And then back over to Dylan, line number two. Dylan, new addition to the Sun Belt Conference as of this week, Louisiana Tech. What's the mascot in Louisiana Tech University?
Ooh.
Louisiana Tech. Here we go. Got to get this to move on to overtime. Need an answer from you, Dylan.
The Panthers.
The Panthers is not correct. You got an animal right. They were the Bulldogs. Dylan, better luck next time, my friend, as a first-time caller. And Matt, you are our big winner today. Congratulations, my friend. I'll get the prize back here in the studio for you.
All right, thank you.
All right, Matt was our big winner. By the way, I work hard on these questions. That was a pretty tough round, all things considered. But our tiebreaker was a pretty fun one because this dude is out to a great start as a head coach, much to the chagrin of many, including yours truly. Today's tiebreaker was about Minnesota Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. Since taking over as Vikings head coach in 2022, let's see how you do. Scoring at home, in your vehicle, at work, or off of work on a Friday. Over three full seasons, how many games in the regular season have Kevin O'Connell's Vikings won? Over three seasons. See if you can remember this, Vikings fans, and feel bad if you don't, because it's been pretty darn good under Kevin O'Connell for 3 years. 3 years in, Kevin O'Connell's record is 34-17, also 0-2 in the postseason. I don't feel bad about that, though. On we go into your headlines and highlights here on this Friday edition of Overtime. Matt, I'll get that prize pack put together, and you can pick it up here at our studios, 57th and Louise, behind Vernighty. Headlines of the day, scorecard first. Major League Baseball's action resumes today. Red Sox and Cubs will get underway in about an hour from Wrigley. You can watch it on Major League Baseball Network. Other matchups on the way today, White Sox at Pirates, Royals at Marlins, A's at Guardians. Tigers open up the second half against the Rangers, Cardinals at D-backs, Dodgers are home to the Brewers. Minnesota will open up against the cupcake of all cupcakes, a.k.a. the Colorado Rockies in Denver. 7:40 the start time tonight, 7 o'clock is the pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Jeff Passan of ESPN talking about worthy challengers to the LA Dodgers. He was big on this team in the write-up at ESPN.com, and he says the Chicago Cubs are it. They could absolutely challenge the Dodgers coming up in October.
I think right now it's the Chicago Cubs. Best run differential in baseball, a nasty lineup, 1-9. You know, when Seiya Suzuki's not making the All-Star game with 25 home runs, and you've already got Pete Crow Armstrong and Kyle Tucker out there, Ian Happ in left field, Michael Bush has been awesome at first base, Dansby Swanson and Nico Horner up the middle. And look, whether it's Matt Shaw at third or they go elsewhere and Carson Kelly behind the plate, they can bang.
And that's Jeff Passan, on the Chicago Cubs. Pretty well-positioned team, second most wins in the National League right now for Chicago. The Detroit Tigers are in the conversation as well for a World Series this season. They're 59-38, tops in the Central, 11.5 games better than the Twins, 12 games better than the Royals and Guardians, and 27 games better than the White Sox. I don't know if the White Sox will even get to 59 wins where the Tigers currently are. That would be a challenge, but that is over this season for the White Sox, no doubt about it. NFL football less than 2 weeks away. The Hall of Fame game celebrating another great class of Hall of Famers. Sterling Sharp getting in, as well as Jared Allen, longtime Minnesota Viking. Going to be a heck of a weekend coming up in 2 weeks. Thursday night will be the Chargers and Lions from Canton to officially kick off the NFL football season. A lot of people consider the preseason unwatchable. For me, I'm just thinking my stars that we got some football and people running around on my TV set for me to watch and enjoy in late July. Let's talk about the team that moved the needle yesterday in the NFL. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They get the deal done with TJ Watt. Financials will be shared later on today's program. Courtney Cronin, though, likes the move and likes the bat signal from Pittsburgh.
But think about everything they've done from the time they trade for DK Metcalf. They sign Aaron Rodgers. They bring in Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith via trade. They now have TJ Watt locked up for another 3 years, $108 million of that $123 total in guarantees. It's what they need to do to be able to achieve what they've not been able to the last couple of years, and that's get to the playoffs and actually win. You have a good defense. You have a good offense. All things considered, everything lining up for the Pittsburgh Steelers this offseason. It's like just not the standard operating procedure, the way that they've handled this. So that's why it shows me they've got bigger goals in mind than a first-round exit.
And a first-round exit, pretty likely if they get there to the AFC playoffs, but the ceiling of Pittsburgh, a little bit higher than that, according to former Steelers safety Ryan Clark.
I think I'm plenty confident that Aaron Rodgers is going to play well. I think Aaron Rodgers and Coach Tomlin are going to have a great relationship of two of the greatest professionals to ever do their job. But that doesn't mean they're going to go beat Buffalo or they're going to go beat the Baltimore Ravens, or they're going to go beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's the conversation we've been having. They'll be good enough. I believe this is a playoff contender. I believe this is the team that can get them a spot in the playoffs. And I also believe the ceiling is winning a wild card game. But that's been the gripe of the Pittsburgh Steelers fans for over a decade in Pittsburgh. Yes, we're good enough, but we're not good enough to be the Pittsburgh Steelers standard, which is winning Lombardi trophies.
And again, if Ryan Clark is saying anything nice about Aaron Rodgers, you know that's probably complimentary of what he thinks about the team right now. They're doing better than expected this offseason. They got better at quarterback. They got better at receiver. And we'll see about their overall outlook. I love the defense in Pittsburgh. No doubt about it. Absolutely. Sign me up for the Steeler defense, even with the loss of Fitzpatrick in exchange for Jalen Ramsey. Really like the defense in Pittsburgh. Should be a top five, top six unit. The offense remains to be seen. I will go to bat again and say they need to get Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, somebody else in-house at receiver. You cannot rely on Calvin Austin, as well as Robert Woods to carry the batons of your offense and exchange it alongside DK Metcalf. I think you need to upgrade that wide receiver two, wide receiver three. Calvin Austin, probably a pretty decent wide receiver 3-4. Can't really count on him to be your second string wide receiver on the Steelers roster and expect that to be a big success offensively. The backfield I am a fan of. Jalen Warren has been a little speedster dynamo in a reserve role behind Najee Harris. He gets the lead. Caleb Johnson, very well thought of. We talked about Thor Nystrom about Johnson of Iowa in the lead up to the NFL draft. Was a huge fan of his. I bet that's a pretty good duo this year in the backfield behind Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Let's talk about the wake of this deal. Of course, this would lend itself to think about maybe Trey Hendrickson gets his deal done. Maybe Micah Parsons gets his done. Ryan Clark says Dallas just continues to play out the string and go to the 11th hour, if you will, on just about every single important contract on the roster.
It's not only about just how much more money you owe him now than you would have last year. It's about looking in that locker room and saying, we're going to make all of you fight tooth and nail to the end to get your deal. No matter who you are, no matter what you show us, it's going to take until the last moment for you to actually get us to give you the money you deserve. And I think they have to get out of that mindset. Get into the mindset of if we draft you, if you produce, we take care of you and we take care of you early. I think Jerry Jones has kind of been in this spot ever since we think back to Emmitt Smith holding out two games to get his contract. You have to do the right thing. If you're Jerry, it saves you money, but it also sends the message in the locker room. If you ball for us, we take care of you, not when we have to, but when you want to.
And again, nobody's accusing Dallas of being cheap. They pony up to pay contracts. They're active in free agency. They do a lot in the NFL draft. And certainly they pay the guys that they need to pay. But it feels like lately the message they are sending is, we're going to string it out as long as we possibly can. I don't know why they're doing this. It's not a good business practice. Very unique across the league. The bad organizations do things like this. The worst organizations just let these guys go and they're too cheap to pay them. Think Cincinnati Bengals of the past. They let these guys go. They sign on elsewhere. They do big things. But Dallas lately has retained the majority of their really big playmakers, the young talent on the roster, and they've drafted about double the amount of all pros than any other NFL team in the last decade. They've drafted insanely well. But in terms of the retention, the respect that these guys deserve, and also saving the money, which again isn't being cheap, it's good business. You can spend the money elsewhere on the cap if you get these deals done early. So Dallas hamstringing themselves a little bit throughout these contract negotiations. Lastly, from the NFL, a big retirement out with the LA Chargers. Mike Williams was coming back from Pittsburgh to LA, is looking to figure it out and get things going again with a swan song of his career with the LA Chargers. But he says, I'm done. I'm going to go ahead and call it a career. And this opens up a question mark about the skill positions out in LA for the Chargers. Here's Sam Acho.
I don't think it's as big of a deal as people may think that it is. Why do I say that? The LA Chargers want to be a run first football team. That's who Greg Roman is. That's what Jim Harbaugh has been. Last year, they were 28th when it came to rush attempts. They're only 11th when it came to rush attempts, 28th when it came to pass attempts. What did they do in the first round this year? Draft a running back, Amari Hampton. What did they do in the first round last year? draft Joe Alt, an offensive lineman. They have Bradley Bozeman on the interior. They get Mekhi Becton, who helped lead the Philadelphia Eagles running game. And so for me, I expect this to be a physical, bruising type of offense, and there not to be as much pressure on Justin Herbert.
So again, a little bit of a surprise retirement, if you will. Mike Williams was looking to get back in L.A. and take the place of Trey Palmer and others and compete for the likes of Quentin Johnson, Dre Harris, a very young player, rookie on the roster for some important snaps. But I agree, I don't think this is a massive deal, but the depth certainly hurts. The veteran savvy of Mike Williams certainly hurts and will be missed. On the roster, they got a lot of young players. Trey Harris, a second-round pick. Keandre Lambert-Smith was a fifth-round pick. Quentin Johnson, still a very young player. Ladd McConkey, the true blue wide receiver one on the roster, is just entering year number two. Darius Davis, year number three. Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's kid, is on that roster as a third stringer. He's in year two. Very young receiver core, not very inspiring, but again, run first, run first, run first. Rashawn Slater, Joe Alt, Mekhi Becton, and a pretty good tandem in the backfield. Najee Harris, assuming he gets back to full speed after that fireworks incident. We'll wait and see for the LA Chargers, but that's the news of the day yesterday. Mike Williams calling it a career. Rounding out the scorecard, NASCAR race this weekend for you race fans is at Dover, Sunday, 1 o'clock on TNT. PGA Tour continuing play from the Open Championship today, where moments ago we had a three-way tie on the leaderboard, and now it looks like, let me hit this refresh button, looks like we have an outright leader, and swirly, swirly, we got it. Matt Fitzpatrick is your outdoor leader, outright leader outdoors. 9 under par, 5 under today through 12, so a lot of holes left for Fitzpatrick. He is ahead by one stroke of Brian Harman and Hao Tong Lee, who are both done for the day at 8 under. Scotty Scheffler is through 9, 4 under today, 7 under overall. And Robert McIntyre, easy to root for that dude, up 27 spots today, 5 under, done for the day in good position at 5 under par, and a four-way tie at 5 under with Rasmus Højgaard, Tyrell Hatton, and Harris English. If you're looking for Rory McIlroy, he and several others just a couple strokes back at 3 under par. All told, 6 back right now for Rory. He's done for the day after 2 under in his second round. WNBA All-Star Weekend is on in Indianapolis. Caitlin Clark, unfortunately, will miss the events on court due to that groin injury, but the All-Star game itself Saturday, 7:30 on ABC. Yesterday, we got the news concerning Minnesota Vikings young wide receiver Jordan Addison. He pleaded no contest Thursday to a lesser charge to resolve a 2024 DUI citation. Plea agreement, however, still leaves him, subject to NFL discipline, very likely to be a baseline 3-game suspension. We talked with Arif Hassan yesterday. If the NFL, for whatever reason, wants to bring down the hammer on Addison in a 6-game suspension, based upon the fact there was not a guilty verdict in this case, it was a plea agreement. I think Addison, I'm not a law expert, but I do think he has a decent chance to win an appeal and get it down to 3 games. But three games is that baseline. If there's any wrongdoing acknowledged, we did get that yesterday with a really weird, wet, reckless charge. You can look that up at ESPN.com. But Jordan Addison did resolve that DUI case yesterday, pleading down to a lesser charge. Longtime right-hander, one-time Minnesota Twin first-round pick Kyle Gibson announced his retirement yesterday after 13 years in Major League Baseball. 37-year-old went 1-12-1-11 with a 4.60 ERA over 334 career appearances. He was a first-round pick, number 22 overall by the Twins in 2009, and spent 7 seasons from 2013 to 2019 with the team. Career record in Minnesota, 67-68. Kyle Gibson announcing his retirement yesterday. Well, the Mountain West Conference is very much anyone's guess these days as to who's in, who's out, who's back, but they're putting a pause on adding new members. They've got 8 football members right now, and that is good enough to qualify them for whatever they need to qualify for right now in terms of being a conference in the group of 6, which used to be the group of 5, which used to be, I don't know, a college football team, college football conference. The Mountain West, though, is pausing adding new schools, according to their commissioner. Conference will add Grand Canyon and all sports except football beginning this year, as they will pause adding new schools until they figure it out in terms of new media rights deals to sell themselves to these young schools, these schools out there looking to make the jump. I don't know. Don't throw anything at me. Maybe the Montanas, the Dakotas, other full-fledged guys at the FCS level could make that jump to the Mountain West if it is right. But right now, the Mountain West is not talking about it. not extending invitations, and frankly, probably not even flirting with teams and programs right now until they get their media rights deal figured out for the future of that conference. Those are your ReliBank headlines of the day for hour number two. When we come back, you'll want to stick around. We got all of the news from the NFL on the way, the movers, the shakers, the good, the bad, and everything in between. NFL latest on the way, chaos in the Players Association in the National Football League. The head of the NFLPA resigned yesterday. We'll tell you why, dive in, and talk about the future of the NFLPA coming up next. The Open Championship update, latest odds, and the good, the bad, and the ugly all wrapped up before we're done on this Friday edition of Overtime. Stick with us. It continues next on ESPN Sioux Falls.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Talk some football on a Friday edition of Overtime. Thanks for being with us today and all week long on the show. If you ever miss any of the program, your podcast links are easy to find wherever you get your podcast. You can find them at ESPNSiouxFalls.com, or easier than both of those options, just find them on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Well, Browns rookies report to training camp today. Second-round running back Quinshon Judkins will not be joining the team immediately, according to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com reports that the running back, who started at Ole Miss, transferred to Ohio State, won a natty last year, has not yet signed. He will not report to training camp today. And while the obvious barrier could be regarded as the effort to get a fully guaranteed contract as the fourth pick in round two, but it's about more than how much the contract will be fully guaranteed. Mary Kay Cabot commenting that he's focusing more on his legal matter right now, and so are the Browns. And again, Browns rookie allegedly struck a woman in the mouth with a closed fist during a physical altercation that led to his arrest in Florida earlier this month. You can find more details if you'd like to at ESPN.com. Let's move forward. Texas A&M coach Mike Elko spoke at SEC Media Day yesterday and squashed any speculation about Bengals rookie defensive end Shamar Stewart returning to the team amid a contract dispute with his NFL squad. The defensive end has been working out in College Station with his former teammates this summer. However, despite speculation, Stewart will indeed be swapping his Aggies maroon and white jersey for a Bengals orange and black one. There are no intentions of Shamar to play for the Aggies this year, Elko told ESPN's Shea Cornett. Shamar has been around. He's very comfortable in our program. Really likes what we do training-wise. He's been training, getting ready for a season this year with the Bengals, and we wish him the best. We don't know what's going to come of the situation. There was a little smoke earlier this week that Shamar Stewart could return to the college game, and I don't know, because there are no rules in college football. I don't know the answer for you. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if he could transfer to a new program, could join a program. I have no idea what the rules are, what the statutes are, but there is very little precedent for what's going on in Cincinnati right now with their first-round pick and a guy who not only doesn't have a contract, but is not working out with the team, not around the team, has expressed his vocal displeasure with the team and the organization in the front office, and has also gone to bat saying his teammates have encouraged him to keep doing what you're doing. Keep grilling these guys. They stink. Bad news in Cincinnati right now around that entire situation with first-round draft pick Shamar Stewart, and that is not the only player that Cincinnati's front office has ticked off, as they're still working on getting a deal done with pass rusher and NFL sack leader Trey Hendrickson. Over to the Detroit Lions now. They placed their defensive tackle Levi Onwuzurike on the reserve physically unable to perform list yesterday, meaning he'll miss at least the first four games of the regular season. The nature of the injury is not known. For the 27-year-old, he re-signed with the Lions this offseason and got a one-year deal. Interesting timing here. No speculation, but usually you get guys in camp and you see what they can do, how they look when they're doing it, and then you do the pup list later on. But this does carve out an additional roster spot right away for Detroit, so we'll see exactly what they do. But on the pup list, he'll be out for at least the first four games. That is defensive tackle Levi Onwuzurike. The Seattle Seahawks and rookie safety Nick Amanawari have reached an agreement as of yesterday, and this one is a big news item for the rest of the second round picks around the league. A fully guaranteed contract for a second round pick, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Amanawari had been among more than two dozen second round picks who remained unsigned, a logjam that began when the Texans made the unprecedented move of guaranteeing the entire rookie contract of receiver and Iowa State alum Jaden Higgins. Amanawari becomes the first player in NFL history drafted 35th overall to receive a fully guaranteed rookie contract, according to Schefter. Last year's 35th pick, wide receiver Ladd McConkey, got roughly 92% of his rookie deal guaranteed. Very good player. Once rumored first round pick, once rumored top 15 pick, Nick Amanawari joining the Seattle Seahawks secondary and a fully guaranteed deal. Well, we got to the latest on wide receiver Jordan Addison of the Minnesota Vikings and his legal situation. How about what Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice was involved in last year, multi-car crash last year down in Texas? Here's his latest news. He was sentenced to 30 days of jail time and 5 years probation yesterday for his role in the crash last year. According to a release from the Dallas County District Attorney's Office, Rice pleaded guilty in district court to two third-degree felonies, collision involving serious bodily injury and racing on a highway causing bodily injury. We got the video of this incident, last year, and a Dallas district court judge ruled that Rice can serve the jail time at any point during the five-year probationary period. So that would lend itself to the offseason when he's not playing football for one of the best offenses in the National Football League. Before his plea agreement, Rice also paid over $115,000 in restitution to the victims of that March 2024 crash for their medical expenses, according to the district attorney's office. And now the NFL can now expedite their disciplinary process of Rice, who is likely to receive a multi-game suspension at some point during the season. So Jordan Addison will get 3 games, likely. Rashee Rice, 3 games, likely. I can't speculate as to if one will be 6 games or one's 4, regardless, but the baseline is 3 for things of this nature. A guilty plea, any wrongdoing, vehicular things like this, the precedent we've seen in the past is 3 games. But we know with old rusty trusty Roger Goodell, the rules do change from time to time. So I'm not going to say concrete this is what's going to happen, but likely at this point, 3 games for Addison, 3 games for Rashee Rice, and we'll see exactly when that discipline comes down. The big news yesterday in the National Football League, before the bigger news we'll get to in a moment, was that T.J. Watt and the Pittsburgh Steelers have agreed to a 3-year extension that'll make him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history again. Watt turns 31 in October, agreed to a 3-year, $123 million extension with Pittsburgh at yesterday afternoon, according to Schefter, ending a contentious months-long contract negotiation. And the deal comes with $108 million fully guaranteed at signing. And the $41 million average per year tops the top receivers in the league in Jamar Chase and tops the top edge rusher in the league in Myles Garrett. $40 million for Garrett, now $41 million for T.J. Watt. Now, the big news from the National Football League, NFL Players Association Executive Director Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned late yesterday, ending his embattled 2-year tenure as the leader of the union representing the players. It's clear that my leadership has become a distraction to the important work of the NFLPA advances every day, 59-year-old said in a statement released by the union. For this reason, I have informed the PA Executive Committee that I'm stepping down as Executive Director and the Chairman of the Board of the NFL Players effective immediately. I hope this will allow the NFLPA to maintain its focus on its player members ahead of the upcoming season. Blah, 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 blah. Sources told ESPN that Howell resigned on his own and surprised some members of the PA's 10-person executive committee, which had selected the former chief financial officer of technology consulting firm Booz Allen Hamilton as a finalist for the top job after a 16-month search shrouded in secrecy. Now, here's where the layer comes in here that makes this very interesting and concerning for the NFL, and in specificity, the NFLPA. Howell's tenure has come under scrutiny after recent reports from ESPN and the Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast. By the way, Pablo Torre doing really great work these days. In May, ESPN reported that the FBI was investigating the financial dealings of the NFLPA and the Major League Baseball Players Association related to a multi-billion dollar group licensing firm, One Team Partners. According to sources, that report triggered the NFLPA to hire Ronald C. Machin of law firm WilmerHale to review Howell's activities as executive director. The FBI investigation, which is being conducted in conjunction with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn, is continuing. But here we go again. We look at a little bit further into this whole deal. It was reported that Howell was working as a paid part-time consultant for the Carlyle Group. And it's not so bad that you're on this board and you are the executive director of the NFLPA. You may have something else in the hopper. But wouldn't it be a conflict of interest if you were working for the NFLPA as the executive director, the head honcho, and you were also working as a consultant for a firm that wanted to buy into shares of NFL franchises that are independent business entities that work with the players. Players work for them, and they work together, but they also butt heads over serious issues, including, I don't know, everything the NFLPA negotiates for, drug testing, off-season schedules, family time, long-term benefits, disability benefits, everything of that nature, giant conflict of interest exposed there from ESPN and the Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast in terms of the conflict of interest there. And this, to me, is not a good look for the National Football League. This needs to go away in a hurry, and the NFLPA needs to have some accountability here. How do you not vet this out in the process of hiring or in the process of this coming to light? Immediacy here in terms of, that's not cool. How long have you been doing that? Why didn't you tell us about it before? You're in a group and consulting a group that's trying to buy NFL shares in different teams, and you're advising their players and their clients and the butting of heads of a union versus an organization or a union and a bigger entity, aka the National Football League. I feel bad for the players in this instance. I really do, because the NFLPA leadership, that council, has let them down really bad in this case. And the NFL strikes a very hard bargain in these NFLPA collective bargaining agreements. We've seen it in the past. The players want less drug testing, less invasive this, less invasive that, more of this, more of that, more rest, less preseason game, whatever it might be, practice schedules. They negotiate over everything. And for the NFLPA to have a giant stain on this like this, on it like this, is really bad for the future of football. So I hope they get the next hire right. J.C. Treader, former Packer, former Brown, is in one of those head positions. I don't know if he's the right guy for the job. There's some speculation that he might be gone. For me, honestly, if I were the NFLPA, if I were the players in this case, clean house. Start over from scratch. Let's strong arm our way beyond the NFL, get what we want, and play ball with the NFL moving forward. But this has to be a player-run organization with the players' best interest at heart and the players' bodies and the players' minds and the players' future in the best interest there, not some giant weird scheme with people with other business interests. Not a good look at all from the National Football League this week, and a very ugly situation for the NFLPA in particular. That is the latest, believe it or not, a giant news dump there from the National Football League. More news to come, I'm sure. But when we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk about a much less physical sport, a sport where you can rip some cigarettes if you're John Daly, you can drive around in a cart if you're not on the PGA Tour. Let's talk about the Open Championship, shall we? And update the latest odds and more on the way. Rory near the top, Scheffler closer to the top, and one man at last check alone atop the leaderboard right now at the Open Championship. We will meet those men and talk about the latest odds coming up right around the corner. Friday, July 18th edition of Overtime continues next right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Stream us online. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
We
Right back with you. Time to update you, get you the latest odds and stories from the Open Championship at Royal Portrush, where there have been three rounds thus far that have concluded with a final round score of 65. Brian Harman owns one today. Chris Gotter up today as well. And Bryson DeChambeau owning the other. The only issue there is DeChambeau had a disastrous opening round, a 78. So he still finds himself, despite the top tournament round so far, a three-way tie for that with a 65 today. DeChambeau still in line to potentially make it for the remainder of the weekend, but he's one over through two rounds, including a six under, very strong round today. Projected cut line is plus two. So it looks like Bryson going to be safe there at plus one. By the way, update on lefty Phil Mickelson. Today was one over. Yesterday was one under, so he's even right now and making the cut to the Open Championship. A lot top the leaderboard right now. The lead has opened up as Matt Fitzpatrick continues his heater and his tear. He's six under on pace for a 65 through 13 holes, and he's 10 under overall. So six under today, Matt Fitzpatrick 10 under overall, and a two-way tie for second, Brian Harman and Hao Tong Lee at eight under. Scottie Scheffler is through 11 today, so he's not done. He's seven under, four under today. Chris Gotter up five under, Robert McIntyre in that conversation, as is Tyrrell Hatton and Harris English. And an update on our friend Rory McIlroy, friend of the show, I wish. Three under for Rory McIlroy right now. Other big names to know, J.J. Spawn, recent winner, is two under, along with Sam Burns and Justin Rose and Ludvig Åberg. And then we're looking down for our guys, John Rahm and Shane Lowry. They're in decent position, have yet to start today. They're even through 11 today, both of those individuals, and they're hanging out at one under par. So Matt Fitzpatrick is the golfer to beat right now, but he does not have the best odds to win it. They're still favoring Scottie Scheffler and awaiting what he does the rest of the day. So we'll look at your odds right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. Scottie Scheffler plus 115. Matt Fitzpatrick vaunting his way into second place in the odds plus 330. Giant drop off to Brian Harman at plus 900. Hao Tong Lee plus 1800. So some disrespectful odds for those two that are currently in a two-way tie for second. Harman and Hao Tong Lee at eight under. Plus 900, plus 1800 respectively. Tyrrell Hatton plus 2000. Identical odds to Rory McIlroy. And then Robert McIntyre and a smattering of other golfers hanging around. Plus 2200, plus 3500 for Gotterup, English, Rasmus Højgaard, and John Rahm, Tony Finau, a few other guys trickling down that list at the plus 8,000 level of odds right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's talk about Rory McIlroy here quickly. Very happy right now with his rounds, first two done for Rory. Accomplished one of his goals today at Royal Portrush, 6 years after missing the cut at the 2019 Open Championship in his home country. McIlroy carded a 2-under 69 in the second round to give him back-to-back under par rounds. And most importantly, a tee time for the weekend. He made the cut. I didn't have this opportunity 6 years ago, Rory said this morning. So to play an extra 2 days in this atmosphere in front of these crowds, I'm very excited for that. Crowds once again out in full force Friday as they cheered, chanted, and tried to will McIlroy up the leaderboard. He's in decent shape right now. Rory, not by any means in pole position to make some noise, but he's in the conversation at three under. Never know what you're going to get the weekend. Box of chocolates, if you will, according to our guy Forrest Gump. But three under for Rory, six shots off the lead, two full rounds remaining, and still some holes remaining for a few leaders. Matt Fitzpatrick, Scottie Scheffler, and a few others still in play right now. That's the latest update from Royal Portrush. Latest odds, again, are favoring Scottie Scheffler, plus 115. He's been atop, but those odds have gotten a little bit less friendly in the last 24 hours as Matt Fitzpatrick having himself a day. Plus 330, his odds for second. Harman, Hao Tong Lee, Tyrrell Hatton rounding out the top five. And Rory McIlroy tied for fifth with Hatton, plus 2,000 odds to win it over the weekend. That U.S. Open Championship, Open Championship from overseas, is part of the Friday Parlay. That's been posted live on Twitter at ESPN Sioux Falls. You can win big this weekend with the Parlay, brought to you as always by High End Glass and Tobacco. Enter now on Twitter. Give us a follow. Hashtag Friday Parlay, and away we go with a great contest over the weekend. When we come back, we say so long to the work week. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly coming up next on the show. You don't want to miss it. Join us next on Overtime.
Tolman
miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Friday, July 18th edition of Overtime. A reminder for all you football junkies out there, we're less than 2 weeks away, people, from some preseason football. I know it's preseason, but it's still football. Coming up at the end of the month, July 31st, we got the Chargers and Lions before too long. We got the Vikings taking on the Texans in the preseason, Saturday, August the 9th. Packers are home to the Jets that night. And then the regular season opener, Cowboys at the Eagles. That's going to be September 4th. The Packers are home to the Lions that weekend, September 7th. And then Monday Night Football, talk about an overreaction Tuesday for the ages. We're either going to drag J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings through the muck, or we're going to drive the Bears back into the muck on that Tuesday, saying, gosh, the Bears still suck. Or, hey, look at J.J. McCarthy, or I don't know about that J.J. McCarthy guy. We'll wait and see. Vikings and Bears, Monday Night Football opener league-wide on Monday, September the 8th. We're going to start with some football, and one thing that makes me insanely happy with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Really good news, great news. The great, the bad, and the ugly. Let's hit it.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Are you tired of your outdoor scene at your home or business? You can give it a facelift today with the help of Hardscapes Outlet. Ditch the bad and ugly yard for something great today. Check them out at hardscapesoutlet.com or any of their three Sioux Falls locations. The older I get, the more persnickety I get, and the more, I don't know, serious I get about loving people that are really good at their job. You love a good dentist, you love a good waiter or waitress if you're out to eat, and you certainly love people that keep you entertained. And that is, for me, Scott Hansen. During football season, you don't know the name, you are certainly missing out, sleeping under a rock, or both. In an era of strong personalities throughout sports media, Scott Hansen has managed to come off as an extremely low-key, agreeable, and likable personality. And of course, the NFL apparently used his good nature against him during his latest negotiations over NFL Red Zone. If you've ever seen NFL Red Zone, you know your life changed the moment that TV flickered on and you saw, hello, friends, welcome in, 24 hours of commercial-free football, or whatever the saying is from Scott Hansen. Energy, 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 excitement, love of the game, everything wound into one, boundless energy, enthusiasm for the sport, and Scott Hansen is back with NFL Red Zone. We can see that smiling face once again, and all of the witching hour and everything else going on in football. He brings a joy to the game that was unimaginable 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Got off the ground about 10 years ago. I'm just making myself feel really old right now. But the first time I saw Red Zone was probably 2013, 2014. I don't know if that was the original first year, but that transformed watching football for me. Now, I'm going to be honest here. If the Packers are on TV, I'm watching the Packers. But I will have Red Zone on the flip channel, a.k.a. when the Packers go to break, I'll flip it over and see who's in the red zone about to score or watch a Packer touchdown again. We'll wait and see. But Red Zone for me has always been that go-to, gotta-have-it, love-it channel on a Sunday lately, and Scott Hansen is back, and that's really darn great. The tough news here that's wrapped into this article from Pro Football Talk is that Hansen told Jimmy Traina of SI.com, there was quite a knockdown, drag-out negotiation. Thrilled that we're able to come to an agreement. To think that I would be on the show for 20 years and have it be as successful as it has been, as it most likely will be, is extraordinary. I'm very blessed. There was a time when I thought, I don't know if this is going to happen. It was not my intention to kind of go that direction, but you have to be willing for that eventuality and or the possibility. But Red Zone is Scott Hansen. Scott Hansen is Red Zone. Talk about perfect products. The NCAA tournament is something that should never be changed. And Red Zone should not be changed. Scott Hansen, lifetime contract that should have been ponied up long ago. And hopefully the negotiations next time are not so serious. And all caps, disrespectful of the guy that made the show, makes the show, and will continue to make the show moving forward. Let's dive into some really tragic news here, and a trailblazing pioneer, a guy that pushed the envelope literally of what humans can do, has passed away. Extreme athlete Felix Baumgartner, the first skydiver to fall faster than the speed of sound during a 24-mile leap through the stratosphere more than a decade ago, passed away in a crash yesterday along the eastern coast of Italy. According to an official, he was just 56 years old. If you recall, feels like yesterday, but this was a worldwide event with Red Bull, and they had a guy jumping out of a helium balloon from the stratosphere, literally the stratosphere, and this dude had some cojones on him and got the job done and survived and changed the world and changed the imaginations of a lot of kids out there and people, and some people would say that's just reckless, and sure it is, but we're very critical of people that do reckless things and people that do things that we can't imagine because we're sitting on the couch and we can't believe that they would do that or put that at risk or do that and go through these changes. As Henry Ford once said, if I asked people what they want, they would have said faster horses. And for me, innovation is such a thing that I admire in life and challenging and pushing the envelope and going on an adventure and doing things that are difficult or unimaginable or pushing the envelope to me is so dang important in life. And honestly, it's hard not to get emotional over this loss of Felix Baumgartner. It's not a guy that I followed with reckless abandon, but people that push the envelope really make life great for other people. When you talk about people doing things that have never been done or treating people the way they need to be treated and beyond that and going above and beyond for your neighbor and exploring the world and the different challenges that we undergo every single day, not to get preachy here, but this is an immense loss for Felix Baumgartner. Age 56, passing away in an accident, but for me, just struck a chord, frankly, as somebody that pushed the envelope, changed the conversation, did the unthinkable, and lived to tell about it for a decade plus beyond that event that occurred over a decade ago. The city's mayor in Italy confirming the passing in a social media post, and he was known as Fearless Felix, stunned the world in 2012, became the first human to break the sound barrier with only his body, wore a pressurized suit, jumped from a capsule hoisted more than 24 miles above Earth in a giant helium balloon over New Mexico. The Austrian native, who was part of the Red Bull Stratos team, topped out at 843 miles per hour that day. That's the equivalent of 1.25 times the speed of sound during a 9-minute descent. When I was standing there on top of the world, you become so humble. You don't think about breaking records anymore. You don't think about gaining scientific data. The only thing you want is to come back alive. And he did that, changed the world, job well done, a life well lived, tragically over as of yesterday at the age of 56. Rest in peace and job well done. In a life, a great life for Felix Baumgartner. That is the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's a great way to end our show today on a Friday. Hope you enjoyed the day. Hope you enjoyed the week. We'll keep it up next week. Short week, Monday through Wednesday. PTO Thursday, Friday. We'll keep talking. Keep on chatting with some area high school football coaches. MVFC Media Day is Monday. So sights and sounds from players and coaches, South Dakota State, and otherwise. We'll talk to you then on ESPN Sioux Falls.